Good evening. Thank you for being here. You can blank that out for now. My name is Harman, for one or two that might not know me. And Johan asked me to speak this evening about sustainability and the church. And it's something that we are concerned about and that we think about quite a lot. And we would like to ask the question, what would it looked like for Dialoog to be a sustainable community? So for those of you who saw the blurb, you'd see that this the talk was called The Endless Summer, because there are these two summers that are predicted that you hear about in the news. On the one hand, you hear about the summer of technological progress and comfort and cleanliness and convenience. That's awaiting us, if we could just get there. And on the other side, you hear about the summer of climate change and global warming and global catastrophe and all those things. And so there are these two conflicting stories. And tonight I'd like to speak to you about these two stories. I'm an engineer. I work at the university. I'm not a Greenpeace activist. I do my research in energy efficiency and demand-side management and uncertainty quantification, which is about looking at the predictions and quantifying, looking at the statistics of the predictions and quantifying how certain we are about these things. So that's my background. As a disclaimer, I'd like to say that Jesus is front and center when we talk about these things. I'm going to show you some graphs and some numbers. Don't worry, I'll explain them. But the data tell a story, and it's a story about God's world and the world God loves and he sent his son to die for, and the story about the world in which we work with God and his kingdom. So that's the reason for these graphs. Now, last week, or 2 weeks ago, Tom Smith was here, and he talked about embodied spirituality, and how we live out our faith in our actual lives. Last week, Johan talked about wealth. And so this week, I'd like to talk about how wealthy Christians can embody their spirituality in their actual lives. So let's start. This is the first graph, okay? This is quite a famous graph done by the Vienna University of Economics. Most of the ones I'll show you are from the top universities and journals in the world. This is not some guy in his garage, some thumb-sucking values. And this is an interesting graph. It might not seem that way to you now, but this top line here, this is GDP, right? GDP is our gross domestic product. That is the monetary value of the stuff we produce in the world, right? All over the world, globally. And what they did is they took 1980 as a baseline. They gave it a value of 100, and they're looking at how it's changing over time. So what we can see here is that our GDP is increasing, and it's increasing quite rapidly. Today, the monetary value of the stuff we're producing in the world is more than twice as much as it was in 1980, right? Okay, so this green line, this is our material intensity. That is just efficiency. That's how much stuff we need to produce the stuff we produce, right? So if in 1980 we needed 100 units of stuff to produce a loaf of bread, that can be petrol, it can be electricity, it can be the fertilizer we put into the ground. Today we only need 77 units of stuff, right? So we're becoming more efficient. And we know that. That's what technology is doing. It's allowing us to do more with less resources, right? So that's this line. This blue line, this is our population. That's increasing. And I think we've noticed that, right? Our population is increasing. It should be increasing up to about 2050 when Africa and Asia mature, as Europe and the USA have matured over the last couple of centuries. Now, what's wrong with this picture? This line is our resource extraction, right? That is how much stuff we're taking out of the ground. So that can be gold, it can be forests we're cutting down, it can be fish we're fishing out of the sea. It's all our raw materials we're taking out of the ground, right? Now, that's also increasing, right? Now, the problem with this is that given our population growth and our material intensity, this line should have been almost flat, but it's not flat. It's it's almost doubled, right? Not quite, but it's almost doubled. That means that we are using, each of us are using a lot more stuff than we did in 1980. Even though we're more efficient, right? We're using a lot more stuff. Now that's a problem. We can't keep on increasing the amount of stuff we use per person when our planet is finite, right? So, and one would think if we become more efficient, then we would use less stuff. But this is called the Jevons paradox. So William Stanley Jevons was an economist in the 1800s, and he said that, I think it's the next slide. He said that it's this guy. Right. He might have said that as well. But he said it's entirely a mistake to think that when we become better at using coal, we would be using less coal. He said the opposite is true. We'd actually be using more coal, right? Because as you become more efficient, supply increases, the price drops, and demand increases, right? He was an economist. So stuff becomes cheaper, and so we use more and more and more of it. So air conditioning is a good example of this. So our grandparents or our parents had these clunky old fridges in their homes, right, with a latch and the big thick door, and those things are quite inefficient. So today we've got new fancy fridges and they use a lot less electricity. But now we've got double door fridges and freezers and air conditioning in our home and our car and our office, right? And so between 1995 and 2003, the air conditioning efficiency in the USA increased by 30%, but the amount of energy they used for air conditioning and stuff doubled, right? But their population didn't really go up by that much. Why is that? It's because of Jevons' paradox. It's because the more efficient we become, the more and more and more resources we use, right? And so this is a graph by The Economist of air conditioning. We're over here now with the amount of energy used for air conditioning. And this is due to various factors, but the point is, as it becomes cheaper, more and more and more people use it. And air conditioning is not going to kill us. By the way, this isn't a talk about global warming. I'm sorry, it might have said that on the ad. We'll touch on global warming, but it's not really a talk on that. Although it's interesting that they think that the heating is going to be decreasing.